Scripture for today is found in the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire! And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue. A restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh water. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light, and God saw that it was good. Words have power. The Bible opens with that very concept. God spoke, the world was created, and it was good. But words aren't always good, are they? Words aren't always used to create positive, good things. We all know that. We have all been on the wrong side of words spoken to us. And sadly, we have all been speakers of words we wish we could take back. Words that instead of giving hope and love and mercy and grace, do the exact opposite. Words that tear down. Words that hurt. Words that destroy. And words that cannot be forgotten, no matter the number of apologies, no matter how heartfelt the repentance behind the apology. You know, it is a strange thing, these mouths of ours. This mouth can be used to preach a message, teach a Sunday school lesson, encourage a person in need, laugh with a friend, kiss and coo over a baby. But this mouth can also be used to insult a family member, tear down a coworker, dismiss someone's needs, laugh at another's anxieties, gossip about a sacred secret. How can something so small be so powerful? And how can it be so dual-minded? Well, it's not. It's not. You see, we are. We are dual-minded, and our mouths tell everyone. James, here in this short but powerful essay on the power of the tongue, begins with a warning to those who teach. James says that those who teach will be particularly judged. But the words that follow should not be taken lightly by anyone here in the room who does not hold themselves out to be a teacher. And here's why. We all have the power to teach with any and every word that we say. We never know what power and influence we have over the people to whom we are speaking. Case in point, I have one sister, Nikki. She's 4 years younger than me, and it seems like every year when we get together for Christmas, she breaks out another terrible Terry story to tell about something awful that I did to her as a child. One in particular comes to mind when I think about the power of our words this week. So it seems that one day we were eating lunch and we were having sandwiches with salami. Now, I don't like the little peppercorns that end up in the salami slices, so I pick them out and put them on my plate. And she walks in and she asks what the black things are on my plate. So, of course, I tell her they're chocolate chips. Why would I lie? Now, this is a very silly story, but you get the idea. Sometimes we say things to people that they take for truth. They have no reason to believe that we're not telling them the truth, and they're not. Unfortunately, many, many things are more serious than the peppercorns are chocolate chips lie. For instance, how about when we say something is true that we either know is not true, or maybe we're just not completely sure it's true. Maybe it's just that we wish it was true because it sure fits our worldview. What if we share these sorts of things and then they fall on the ears of someone who is much less informed, or someone who just looks to you to be the wise one? We may not think that it matters that we had a little fact wrong, or that that story on Facebook or what we heard on the news was not 100% unbiased and accurate. They seem innocent enough. But what about the people who are hearing or reading what we are saying or sharing? How about this one? How about when we get so comfortable with other people that we get loose and careless and hurtful with our words? Have you ever heard this one before? It's okay. We're just like family. That's just how we talk to each other. I've heard that one. I've heard that one at work. I've heard that one at church. I've heard that one among friends. I get it. I really do. But you know what? When I hear that, I just think, I need to be a lot nicer to my family. James paints several pictures of the tongue and its power in these few short verses. It is a bit, a bridle, a very small thing that can move an entire animal. It is a rudder, a small piece of material that can steer an entire ship. It is a flame, which can set fire to everything that it touches. It is poison. The tongue is powerful, and it can be destructive, and it can be a problem. Frederick Buechner is a Presbyterian minister and a writer who writes in his book Beyond Words this: words are power. Essentially, the power of creation. By my words, I both discover and create who I am. And this is how he explains what he means. When God said, "Let there be light," there was light where before there was only darkness. Likewise, when I say I love you, there is love, where before there was only ambiguous silence. I opened this morning by reminding you that the Bible opens with a picture of the power of words. Words that were spoken by our Creator created and are creating everything that we see and know. Now, you may have thought when I started there that I was stretching the point because God's words are clearly and more obviously powerful and creative. They are more than anything that we can ever say. But while that is true, I want us to remember that our words do have power. They have the power to heal or to hurt. They have the power to love or to hate. They have the power to build up or to tear down. They have the power to destroy or the power to save. We do not always know who is listening to what we have to say. And even when we are quite sure who our audience is limited to, we never quite understand the power that our words have to linger in the lives of the hearers. So we must take care what we say. In public, where we don't know who will overhear, and in private, where only the closest to us will hear, and everywhere in between. Atheist philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche supposedly said, "I cannot believe in your Savior until the disciples look more saved." Earlier in the book of James, James shares that faith without works is dead, telling the disciples, telling his readers that what discipleship is about is more than what you believe, but it's about what you do. And now he tells us that we need to be sure to say the things that demonstrate our faith. It's not either or, it's both and. We have to walk the walk, and we have to talk the talk. And here's the hard part. Sometimes talking the talk means staying quiet. Sometimes the best way to show love and grace is to just keep our tongues silent. At least think about it for a few minutes before we say something. Think about it overnight. Think about the person that we were going to say something to or about. Think about whether what the thing is that we really want to say. Think about whether it is the right thing to say, or is it the right person to say it to? Consider whether the right thing to say might be, "Tell me more," or "Help me understand." Consider, as trite as this is going to sound, but consider, what would Jesus do or say? Search the soul. Look into the heart where we have stored everything that God has taught us. Take a beat, think, ask for guidance, tame the tongue. Luke Timothy Johnson puts it this way when talking about these instructions from James: "Something more is at stake than the perfection of a human sage. It's not just about whether we're wise or not. What is at issue is the proper mode of responding to God's creation." He says, "The first and most important gift distinctive to humans is this power to name, to create language, and by creating language also to continue God's own creative activity in the world. The world emerges moment by moment from God's creative energy, and it is reshaped and given meaning by the human language which interprets it. Johnson says, humans have the freedom to structure life according to the Word of God, or in a way where God is omitted and ignored. So, let us, brothers and sisters, speak in a way that structures and interprets the world around us according to the Word of God and does not omit or ignore Him. Let us work hard to tame our tongues so that when we do speak, whoever hears us will hear people who speak like the one in whose image we are made. Let us speak in a way that creates life and love and hope wherever we go, in the name of Jesus, in the power of His Spirit, to the glory of God. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, our tongues are powerful, more powerful than we should have been given, I think. And any duality within us just bursts forth from our mouth. We gather here this morning to sing your praises and to give you thanksgiving, to lift up our hurting places. And we may not even leave this building before we speak a word of criticism, blame, or judgment. Where we kill the dreams of those around us, that we interpret what we have experienced in a way that changes how someone else experiences it. Lord, help us to be your people. Help us to be purified from the inside out. Help us to be a part of your good creative energy. Wherever we go, whatever we do, in your Son's name we pray. Amen.